Are y'all enjoying this spring-like weather in the middle of August? Isn't it nice? I know I enjoy it. Let's prepare ourselves in the usual fashion. You know our SOP, moment of silent prayer. Rebound if necessary. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to be here to study your word, to refresh our spiritual batteries so that we are able to not only endure but to be overcomers. We pray that you will help us to assimilate in full measure the doctrines that we will learn this evening. For we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. I have a update of the international conference that is going on in Africa. As we speak, they are meeting. It's Moses Amwibiko, whom we are praying for his efforts and the Lord using him in a mighty way. This is an email that I received from Pastor Naboth, which is a pastor, I believe, he resides in Africa. I don't know if Moses met him over here and he's or where. But anyway, he says, "Dear prayer warriors, the long-awaited first international conference for leaders got underway yesterday here in Nairobi. Reverend Moses took on basic instruction and indoctrination to the leadership convocation that has since been assembled here straight away soon after his safe arrival on the 12th. All began with an introduction to grace ministry doctrine, which to most went down tense. Dropping of divine bombs tailored in heaven was the synonym of the day. My people," referring in this case to leaders, "perish because of lack of knowledge." That's a quote from Hosea chapter 4. "Today went deeper and came to a point of crossroads where many agreed there is need to stop, rethink our ministry style to conform to sound Bible, or suffer shame when Christ's time for rewarding faithful servants comes." And see, what you have to understand is that there are pastors from, he's going to say here, I believe it's 6 countries that are assembled there, and many of them have not been taught properly. Many of them have received false doctrines their entire life. So when you go to a conference and someone like Moses does not mince words, he just lets them have it. This pastor called it dropping divine bombs tailor-made in heaven. Well, you don't have to sugarcoat it. They're either going to be positive or they're not. And that's why they need your prayer support, that the Holy Spirit will help convict these people and that there won't be distractions, there won't be intrusions, there won't be all the things that Satan and his minions certainly are going to try to change the focus in some way. So he says it's time to rethink the ministry. Now, continuing, "It is true that bombs are falling and being dropped on many ministries, churches, and denominational circles that have for such a long time operated under the dark cover of ignorance and foolish, dead, and legalistic teachings. But thank God no one has so far left the meeting." Well, that's encouraging, because no doubt he is stepping on a lot of toes. "It is painful to discover the truth, but real joy to find the way. We proceed tomorrow for longer hours. I'm kindly sending word to all our tradition and false teaching here. I'm not exactly sure what that sentence means, but I'm just reading it to you how he wrote it. I'm kindly sending word to all our tradition and false teachings here. Many attending delegates want this doctrine in their backyards. The Burundian pastor moved the meeting this afternoon when he asked Reverend Moses to proceed to his country. And this is a quote from that pastor. He says, "I have been making too much noise." Then the pastor from the Congo said, "It profits nothing shouting without biblical content in your message." We have so far 6 countries in attendance. So one of these pastors evidently has figured out that just shouting and making a lot of noise without biblical content in your message is not going to cut it. So as you can see from this, that there is a lot going on, and I hope every one of you will not forget to pray for this effort, because it can reap a huge harvest and it will need your prayer support. One other thing before we press on. I was sent an email that said that there was a homosexual broadcasting outlet that was struck by lightning. Put them off the air for a little while. And on that particular website, it said something about a website that had commented on this incident. And the name of the website was GodHatesFags.com. And so that sounded to me interesting, and so I went there. And I found out from that website that I'm going to hell, and that you probably are too, because you're listening to what I teach. By the way, I hope you understand that God does not hate anyone. Hate is a mental attitude sin. God doesn't have that. It's an anthropopathism, which evidently this person doesn't understand. He said that not only are all fags going to hell, anyone who supports them or accepts them is also going to hell. And I found out that he is... there was one point on his website that said the Manifesto of Westboro Baptist Church. That's the name of this church. And I said that it's the Manifesto. So I want to see what the Manifesto is. So I clicked on that particular link. And this is what it says. "We are a Tulip Baptist Church! ! Well, if you don't know what Tulip is, it's an acronym for... Calvinist. I'll press on, you'll probably see. He says, "We believe and vigorously preach the 5 points of Calvinism." And if you don't know what those are, it's total depravity. And the second one is, I can't remember the second one. The third one's the limited atonement. The next one is irresistible grace. And the last one, the P, would be for perseverance of the saints. Perseverance of the saints, rather. I don't know if you're familiar with this doctrine of Calvinism. Some call it hyper-Calvinism. All it means is that God did not give man free will, and he chooses who's going to hell and who's going to heaven, and the people have absolutely nothing to do with it. He subscribes to this. In fact, he goes on to say, "Anyone preaching otherwise, other than this," which yours truly definitely does, he says, "anyone preaching otherwise is a hell-bound false prophet, a messenger of Satan, to whom we say, anathema, maranatha, and let him be accursed of God." So, I just thought you might know that there are not all people don't believe the same way as we do, and we always have to go to the Word as the standard. He says to every lover of Arminian lies, believing that the preaching that God gives, that He loves every individual of mankind, to that we say, you are going to hell. So if you believe that God loves all mankind, then that qualifies you to go to hell also. So he says again, to every... See, Arminian, there's a theological debate that has gone on for centuries, and it's most of it is off target to begin with, between Calvin and Arminian, the Arminian side. But anyway, he says, to every lover of Arminian lies, believing and preaching that God loves every individual of mankind, we say you're going to hell, period. End of discussion. God decreed something... God decreed sending you to hell, and it is irreversible. Hypocrites, how can you escape the damnation of hell? So, that was, I thought, an interesting website. And as I was reading this, I was wondering, what would you say to someone that claimed that homosexuals are going to hell because they are homosexuals? Would you be able to deal with that? Surely you will. You recognize that God paid for that sin as well as all other sins, and sin isn't the issue. Someone needs to inform this pastor of that, but I doubt that he would listen. We are on page number 51 in our current study of the methods of applying doctrine. Does everyone have page 51? Oh, okay. I have plenty. Of course. Excuse me, we started last Tuesday on power lust, and we found that we encounter power lust everywhere. And then on point number two, we looked at the different ways that people use, or the different methods people use to gain power over others. And we went over those in some detail, plus we went into biblical references to substantiate and give illustrations. And we ended on point number three, people who are successful in using and manipulating others never receive the happiness they are seeking. Believers with power lust are really miserable because divine discipline is added to self-induced misery they already created for themselves. So they are in a very untenable situation because they've already created their own mess, plus God adds divine discipline, and they are extremely miserable at that point. Now we're continuing with point number four. It is true that we all need power in this world, but we don't need power to overcome others. We need power to overcome the old sin nature and mental attitude sins in ourselves. Have you ever thought of that? People are always wanting power. They're always wanting strength. But the power that we as believers need is not to overcome other people, not to have our way and have sway in everything that we want. That's not the kind of power that believers need. The kind of power we need is to overcome our own old sin nature and the mental attitude sins that crop up in our souls just like weeds in a garden. And that's why we're going over these lists of mental attitude sins, so that you can identify them and then neutralize them with the proper Bible doctrine. Then the last point here is, we are our own worst enemy. Have you ever thought about that? You need power to overcome your old, natural, nasty self. That's another way of putting it. You don't need power over others. You don't have to worry about that. And you will never succeed in having that power over self unless, first of all, you accomplish a couple of things, which we'll get to in the next couple of points. But you are your own worst enemy. And you know what? What is the most dangerous and lethal of the enemies that you possess? It's that hole right under your nose. It's called the mouth. Our own mouth is our own worst enemy. Am I not right? How many times have you said things, and when you really got down to it, when all the dust cleared, you could correctly say, I let my big mouth get me in trouble again. If believers were actually truly honest with themselves, that's what they'd have to say. So when we say that we are our own worst enemy, that is true. We have to have the supernatural power of God to put a lid on all of this venom and ill will and mental attitude sins that come up. We need to be able to put a lid on that and, most of all, control our mouth. In fact, there are not many people who can do that. Very few. And most people don't even make an effort. But I hope that you are at least can be counted among those that are making an effort. Point number five. Fortunately for us, God has come to our rescue, as He always does, by supplying for all of our needs, including the power we need to overcome the obstacles of the world, the flesh, and the devil. These are the three areas that we seem to succumb to during this very brief passage on planet Earth. The world is just the lust of the eyes. It's the wanting to gain success and fame or power by hook or crook, manipulation, however it may be. The flesh has to do, of course, with the sensual type of lust. And then we have the devil. And really, when it says the devil, I don't really think that it's talking about the devil personally. I think it's referring to Satan and his very organized demonic hordes. I doubt that Satan personally has ever tempted or got involved with any of us personally, because Satan is not omnipresent. He can only be at one place at one time. I don't even know if Satan has ever even visited Brenham, Texas. It's possible that he's never set foot in Washington County. I don't know. But he doesn't have to, because he has a very well-orchestrated, very mechanized army, forces, that does his bidding for him. We know this from Ephesians chapter 6, that there are powers and principalities, there are demon officers, colonels, generals, and the like. And so, these are the things that we have to deal with and do battle with, and God supplies what we need in order to deal with these. In other words, He supplies the power. And every person, every believer, every one of us sitting here have to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Number six. Jesus told the disciples of the power that would come upon them shortly after He left earth. Acts chapter 1 verse 8, He said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you." Now, Jesus Christ said that in His resurrection body while it was still on earth. Just moments after that, He ascended into heaven. He was standing there talking to His disciples, and the next thing you knew, they saw Him getting smaller and smaller as He put more and more space between himself and them, and he wasn't moving horizontally. He was moving vertically. Now you can imagine what a phenomenon that would be. And the disciples had never seen that before. I doubt that you have either. And you would probably take the same position that they did if you saw it occur, and that is gaping mouth, you know, chin on chest, just looking up in awe. And so when that occurred, he said, "You will, from that point, very shortly, you are going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." You remember how long that was? 10 days. See, it was 40 days that Christ was on earth. 50 days after Christ was resurrected, 50 means 5 or 50 in this case. Pentecost means that that's when the church age began, and that's when the Holy Spirit came and had started his unique ministry to believers in the church age. It's never happened before, nor will it happen past this time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. "For the word of God is alive and powerful." So what do we have in these two verses? You have power in the Holy Spirit, and you have power in the word of God. Danny, if you don't mind passing these out. Now we're studying power lust, and we're looking at different aspects of power. We all need power, don't we? Sometimes today we call it energy. We need energy, we need power. God supplies it all. Now, on page 52 at the top, I gave you a preview of this a couple of lessons ago. This is the corrected translation of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. "I have the endowed power that is maximum doctrine resident in Paul's soul." That's where the power came from here. "To obtain all things, super grace and then dying grace, by means of the one, God the Holy Spirit, who keeps on pouring the power into me." That's the expanded, corrected translation of Philippians 4:13, which if you read in your English translation probably says something akin to, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Well, this is what the corrected translation closest to the Greek says. Now, isn't that wonderful that if Paul can say that, then we can say that. Paul didn't have anything on us other than being face to face and being taught by Christ himself. But as far as the options and the what was provided for Paul as a church age believer, we have the same thing in a general sense, as we'll see. Point number 7. Why do believers settle for weak, faulty human power when they have access to God's omnipotent power? Don't look at the answer yet. Look up here. Maybe you've already read the answer. I don't know. But just think about that. Why would any believer settle for weak, puny, faulty human power when they have the omnipotence of Almighty God available to them? Why would anybody settle for that? Don't you think that's a fair question? Don't you think that every believer ought to be able to address this and have an answer for it? Well, here's the answer. We continue now. It says the answer is ignorance of Bible doctrine. Now, this is why believers don't why they don't tap into God's omnipotent power. Ignorance of Bible doctrine, habitually falling back into old habit of depending on self, and succumbing to the lure of the old sin nature. Let's look at those one at a time here. First of all, believers settle for the weak human power because they are ignorant of Bible doctrine. First of all, they don't even know the power of God. They don't know anything about it. If you said that God is omnipotent, How many believers would even know what you were talking about? They don't know that God has designed us to operate on His power and has given us special abilities. We have spiritual dynamics in order to fulfill the Christian way of life that the believer that is ignorant of doctrine doesn't have a clue about that. Here's the one that I think is probably the most damaging. People habitually fall back into their old habit of depending on self. Now, let's think about this for just a moment. As we grow up, we acquire habits. If you, as a child, learn that you can get your way by throwing a fit, that's a wheel track. A wheel track is something. Just think, there's a field out there, and it's a virgin field. No wheel has ever been over it. The first time the pioneers, when they went across the prairie, what did they do? They made wheel tracks, you see. And the people following would follow in their wheel tracks. And they would keep, and this happened over and over again to where I believe on the Oregon Trail they say that there are still wheel tracks, literal wheel tracks that were formed by the pioneers crossing the prairies are still there. And that's what goes on in the soul of a person. They get so accustomed to doing something in a particular way. They form those habits so strongly in their soul that the first sign of trouble, the first time the pressure starts to show its face, first time adversity, whatever it is, what does a person do? They go to where they're comfortable. They go to what they are used to. And that's what people do. This is just our makeup, you see. And so what we are in a process of doing is, first of all, learning, well, is this what we are supposed to do when we have trouble in our life? What is the first thing we want to do? What is our natural inclination? What is it? To worry about it, to be afraid, to complain, to be bitter or angry, all these things are the natural. And when people are used to doing that over and over, they just automatically go. They don't even think. Do you ever have to think when something happens that you think is so unfair and it's really interrupted your life? Do you have to go through a thinking process to complain? Do you have to make a list and say, okay, now I have trouble. What's number one on my list? What is the first thing that I should do here? Get angry? Do you have to do that? I'm asking you. No, you don't, do you? It's just automatic. Boom, you do what you've always done. When you hit yourself with a hammer. Someone did this. Was telling me about it last Sunday. I'm not going to tell you who it is. Hit themselves with a hammer. And they were talking about how just all of a sudden, boom, something flew out of their mouth. But where'd that come from? I mean, you don't have time to stop and think. Now, let's say, under this condition, what word should I use that would be the appropriate word? Boom, it's out there, you see. We go to these old wheel tracks, you see. And we're in the process of trying to forge new wheel ruts that line up with God's thinking, the way He wants us to do it, you see. And one reason that people don't tap into God's power, because if you're going to have to do it, have God's power, you've got to do it His way. You can't do it your way. You can't do it your way and say, God, come on, give me the power. I'm used to doing it this way, and you're just going to have to kind of mend your ways and kind of change a little bit and pour the power in over here on me because I need it. No matter how much you need it, is God going to change? Is he? Of course He's not going to do that. So if you're going to access God's power, you have to do it His way. And that's what we're doing. We're studying how to do things God's way. But even more importantly, not just how to do things His way, but how to think the way He thinks. Because thought precedes action, or at least it should in most cases. And so if you're thinking God's thoughts, then you're going to do things His way, and you're going to start forging some new wheel ruts over here. Now, no one that I've ever heard of can have a super highway of wheel ruts over here. They're so used to doing it, and they're so comfortable over here. You don't go to church and hear, this is the way that God wants you to do it. He says, the Bible says that we are to bless those who curse us. Is that what we're used to doing? When someone curses us, is it natural? Do we have wheel ruts automatically over here to bless that person, to pray for them? Do we? No, we don't. What is our natural inclination when someone curses us? Well, we'll curse them right back. In fact, we'll try to get a little nastier than they are. When someone gives us the finger, what do we do? Well, I know we're very sophisticated, Christian-like people. We would never think of returning the finger to someone. What are you thinking? Because you might as well do it if you're thinking it, you see. And we have to fit forward these new wheel ruts. So when we start using these wheel ruts, we're on new ground. You've heard of that before? You're in an unplowed field, you're on new ground. You're on a prairie that's never had any wheel ruts. So you're foraging for the first time some wheel ruts here. And you might think, hey, this feels pretty good. This is different. And so the next time something comes along, are you automatically going to go to those new wheel ruts? No. Where do you want to go? You want to go with what's comfortable, what you've always done, you see. So as you grow, it's a process of sometimes you're going to be over here, but at least maybe you're over here and you think, oh, wait a minute, I need to make a U-turn and get back over here where these new wheel ruts are being formed. You see, that's where God wants me to be. And the problem is, one reason why people settle for their puny human power is because they insist on still using those same old habits, those same old wheel ruts. And until they forge some new ones, they're not going to have God's power. And they're going to complain. They're going to be afraid. They're going to seek pity. They're just going to be a total mess. So the answer, again, why do people not do it? Is because of ignorance of Bible doctrine. They don't know of any of these concepts. So they habitually fall back in their old habits of depending on self rather than depending on God. You see, if you're going to depend on God when the heat is on, a decision has to be made. I mean, there is a crisis situation. What are you going to do? What have you done your entire life? Depended on moi, right? On yourself. And it's new to actually depend on God. But that's what He wants us to do. But when you do, then you have divine power. And what does that power provide? Well, how about peace? How about contentment? How about confidence? How about courage? How would you like to have just those four? There's more, but just those four. Isn't it worth trying some new wheel ruts and new way of handling the situation? God's way, operating on His power, because that's what His power provides. As we're going to see, it's not that His power is going to allow you to slay the enemy. It allows you to have that peace and contentment and joy no matter what occurs. So that's the second one. And then the third one is succumbing to the lure of the old sin nature. You know, the answer to the question, why do these mental attitude sins pop into your thought pattern? Why do they do that? Why are we so quick to judge? Why are we so easily become impatient? Why do we so easily criticize others? Why? All of these things. And the answer is that we all have an old sin nature, and it's constantly prodding us to go to the old wheel ruts, the way that we've always handled things. And we're comfortable there. The only thing is it makes us miserable. We're not happy. You can say, okay, well, I owe it to myself to be angry. And not only will you say that, you'll have friends, you'll have other people say, you have a right to be angry. You need to be angry. You need to express that anger. You need to seek revenge. What does the Bible say? Revenge is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You don't have the right to seek revenge on anyone. But that's where you're used to going, you see. And your old sin nature will prod you in that direction. And when you're there, you're operating on your power and you have no access to God's power. And what I'm saying is when you operate on your puny power, it's never enough to give you what you want. Say it again. When you operate on your own power, it's never enough to get you what you want. You have to do it God's way for these new wheel ruts. And when you do, you're operating on God's power. And then you're going to have the abundant, wonderful life that He wants us to have. Point number 8. We are not independent, free spirits who can resist the influence of powers and forces that lie way beyond our ability to control. Now, we're talking about power. And when you're talking about power, one of the things that goes along with this power is control. Usually, whoever has the power has control, right? And so we think that we have really more control than we really do. Because there are forces that lie way beyond our control that are going to determine whether we're going to be happy or unhappy. And look at what we have here. First of all, we have this cosmic sphere of power. Cosmic comes from the Greek word cosmos, which means the world. So this is worldly power. You could substitute this and say it's a power of the flesh, but it's actually the satanic sphere of power. Satan has tremendous power, and he can influence us in a negative way. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. Wherein ye once walked according to the course of this world. There's cosmos there, world. According to the prince of the powers of the air, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. This is written to believers. This isn't talking about unbelievers. It's saying, essentially, follow what this is saying, that as a believer, you once walked, peripateo in the Greek, and it's in the present tense, means you kept on walking this way, according to the course of this world. What is the course of this world? It's worldliness. It's satiating all the lust, not only sensual lust, power lust, and the lust for money and all these things. He's saying that's where you once walked. He says, according to the prince of the powers of the air. Who is the prince of the powers of the air? Satan is. So he has tremendous power. You walked according to his dictates when you succumbed to his sphere of power. So you might have thought that you were independent sort and you were just doing your own thing, but you were a slave to Satan and too dumb to know it. And this is what I'm trying to give you the knowledge of this verse here. He says that you walked according to the prince of the powers of the air, which is Satan, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. Now let me ask you something. Do the sons of disobedience refer only to unbelievers, or can a believer be a son of disobedience? Most of you are shaking your head. You know the answer to that. You can certainly be a believer and be a son of disobedience. Anytime you submit to Satan's sphere of power, you are a son of disobedience, even though you are a royal family member of God. And so you think you're so powerful? You think you're doing your own thing? All you're doing is dancing to the puppet strings of Satan. You are under his control. You are a slave and don't know it. Now, the other sphere of power, there's two. There's only two, by the way. There's no other powers. It's the Satan's power and God's power. What I'm trying to point out here is you think you have power. You don't have any power. You will submit to one or the other. Now, here's the divine sphere of power. This is God, of course, has power. He has ultimate power, but he has allowed in the angelic conflict for Satan to have a certain amount of sway over people. So in this one, look at Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now, just that phrase, that's not even the whole verse. You see, there's more that goes on, but we just stop there for our purpose. Is that saying a mouthful there? That God is able to do, look at this, immeasurably. You can't measure how much more that God can do for you than all you can ask, that you can verbalize, or even that you can think. You can't even come close to what God is able to do for you according to what? According to His. Underline the word His, just to remind you. According to His power that is at work within us. And we're going to see in a few minutes what that power is. Well, I'll go ahead and tell you right now, because I don't know how far we'll get. There are two areas of power that work within you as a believer. First of all, it's the filling of the Holy Spirit. And second of all, it's the power of doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness. That's the two areas of power. And that's all you need. When you have that, then God kind of can accomplish more than you can ever ask or think. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. His divine power has given us most of what we need for life. No, doesn't say that, does it? Everything we need for life. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now you have to connect the dots in this verse. What do it say? It says His divine power has given us everything. That means it's already occurred. What is that talking about? Think. What is that referring to? It's talking about escrow blessings. Remember? God has already created the customized, special package of blessings beyond your wildest dreams. It's already been done. And so this is saying, His divine power has already given us everything that we need for life and godliness. But what do we have to have? What you remember? Capacity. What do you have to have in order to have capacity? Knowledge. Knowledge of doctrine, you see. So look at it in this verse. His divine power has given us everything. Escrow blessings are already there, ready for us to take. That we need for life, everything in life that will make us extremely, deliriously happy, He's already done. And godliness, everything that we need in order to fulfill His plan for us spiritually. Look at this. Through our knowledge of Him. Underline that. That's accessing God's power. It's not just the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's also through the knowledge of Him. What is the knowledge of Him? It's the Word of God, is the mind of Christ. So do you want to have access to God's power? It certainly is available, but you have to access it. And the way to access it, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I don't care. I want you to know this now, is through the filling of the Holy Spirit and through the acquisition of Bible doctrine in your soul. When you do that, you are operating on God's power. And what does that make available to you? Well, just simply everything that is immeasurably more than you could ever ask or think. That is what is available to you when you access God's power. But you have to learn how to access it. Otherwise, you're going to continue to go to your old wheel ruts. You're going to handle the exigencies of life
through your old bad habits. And that's human power. It's yours and it's not sufficient. But when you access God's power through the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know how to do that through rebound, plus Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness, then you're thinking divine viewpoint, you're operating on God's power, and everything changes. That's the point. So again, 2 Peter 1:3, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. There you have grace. We didn't earn or deserve to be called by God. And it's to His own glory. It was good of God to do that, to say the least, and it brought glory to Him. And the more that we utilize His power, the more He is able to bless us. God wants to give you the abundant life. And you've heard me say that before. What's the abundant life? Well, it's more than you can ever ask or think. And He's already given it to you. It's already up there in heaven, reserved for you in escrow. And as soon as you have the knowledge of Him, which is what this is talking about, through maximum intake of Bible doctrine, then Jesus Christ, who is the escrow officer that is fair and just, He has all the facts, when at the right time, to where you will not be distracted by such wonderful blessings, then that valve is cranked wide open and here they start flowing. And that's what it's all about. Accessing God's power. You see how you can put all these pieces start coming together? And in these verses you can see, oh, okay, the power that has given us everything already, that everything is the escrow blessings, through our knowledge of Him, that's the capacity. And when you have that plus the filling of the Holy Spirit, then you have God's power. And you choose what you want to operate on. So there do. Here's a. I made this overlay years ago, and I haven't used it in a long time. But there are actually two spheres of power that operate on in our lives. This is the divine sphere that some call the divine dynasphere, sphere of power here. And over here, this is God's sphere of power. And this is Satan's sphere of power. Over here, it's called the cosmic system or the cosmic dynasphere, you see. Over here, under the divine power, when we are spiritual, which you all are right now, if you rebounded or if you are free of any mental attitude sins or overt sins and so forth, then you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You can produce divine good. You're strong. You have plus H happiness. You're thinking divine viewpoint and you're operating on God's power. God will give you the power to do the things that He mandates you to do that you would not have the power to do if you tried it on your own power. For instance, God says to love your enemies. Can you do that under your own power? Have you ever tried that? If you ever try it without the filling of the Holy Spirit, you know what it's going to wind up being? Or what you will wind up being? A hypocrite. It's not natural for you to love your enemies. What's natural is for you to grind them into a fine powder and then do a hula dance over as the, on the dust that's left. That's what's natural, you see. Victory dance or hula dance, I guess. I don't know where hula dance came from, but it would look a little funny, wouldn't it? All right, over here, by the way, you see this? Humility. When you're operating on God's power, you are always humble. You are humble enough to know that you can't cut it. Your power won't suffice. And God's power does. But when you sin by arrogance, thinking that, well, I'll just do it my way. It's more important for me to go into my old wheel ruts, my old habits, where I'm comfortable. It's more important for me to do that than be on this unfamiliar ground over here. When I'm over here on my on this new ground that I'm, the new ruts that might be forming, I'm out of my comfort zone, and I don't like to be uncomfortable. So it's more important for me to get back over here where I feel at home. I like to be nasty to my enemies, you see. I'm comfortable doing that. And I don't feel like when I'm over here, they're really going to get what they deserve. And I'm going to make sure that they do. So I'm just going to go over here. What is that? That's just a whole bundle of mental attitude sins. And when you do that, then you're not making an independent decision thinking that you're going to handle things your way. You're handling things Satan's way. You've fallen under his control and his power, you see? And over here, you are carnal, you're fleshly. You grieve the Holy Spirit, still indwelt, still in your body, but you're grieving in the sense that he has no power over your soul at that point because of your volition up here. You've given power and control of your soul to Satan. You haven't given it to yourself. You have no power. It's just God's power and Satan's power. Do you understand that? You have no power. And when you defy God and you are disobedient and you're going to let your mental attitude sins run loose in your own life, what happens? You're not being independent. You've just fallen under Satan's power. So here you are over here. What do you have? You have human good. Even when you try to do good, it's from the wrong motivation, and it's usually hypocritical, and it is non-rewardable by God. He doesn't accept it. And what do you are? You're weak, you're unhappy. And you stay that way as long as you insist on doing things your way. When it's really not your way, it's Satan's way, you see? And people, it's amazing how people will stay over here. But they're in their comfort zone there. But that's a misnomer. Really, it's a... what is that word? It's a oxymoron. Yeah, it's an oxymoron. Because you may say it's your comfort zone, but you're not comfortable, see? You might say, well, I'm comfortable over here in my own old habits, being able to sin the way I am comfortable doing, but you're never comfortable when you're sinning. Really, the only time that you're really comfortable is when you're out of your comfort zone and you're doing things God's way. And when you do that, the first thing, you have to be humble. You recognize that you have disobeyed, you have all these sins, you confess them, and boom, then you're operating in God's power, you see? So these are the two, and here's the issue right here, this big V, volition. You decide whose power you are going to submit to. Remember, you have no power. Yours not even an issue. Yes?
Well, you know, the person who's in a constant compound, would you be considered an enemy of Christ?
Yeah. You're not, when you're over here in the cosmic compound, I call this the cosmic compound. That's what we're used to, or you can call it the divine dynasphere. When you're carnal, the Bible designates you as an enemy of the cross. And in the verse we just saw here, it says that in verse number Ephesians 2:2, of the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. When you're over here, you're disobedient. You're going against God's plan, against His mandates. So you're over here, and when you get back over here in the divine dynasphere, or what we would call the divine domain, then what happens is you're hitting on all cylinders, and you really are operating on God's power. We've got time for one more point. I want to bring this together. Point number 9. We do not have the ability to change these spheres of power. But we do have the ability to choose the sphere of power, write the word that in here, that will change us. Write it in there, right between power and will. So here we have it. But we do have the ability to choose which sphere of power that will change us. When a person believes in Jesus Christ, he has the omnipotent power of God available to him through the filling of the Holy Spirit,
and through the power of Bible doctrine that circulates in his stream of consciousness. Where it says here, you have the power of God available to him right before one, through, up in that little space there, put a one and a circle around it. And then over here it says, through the power of Bible doctrine, right at that word through, put a two and put a circle around that. That's your two areas of accessing God's power. You have to have them both. You have to have the filling of the Holy Spirit, and you have to have Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness in order to be operating on God's power. Yes. The filling of the Holy Spirit always has to precede the acquisition of Bible doctrine. Because, well, I'll have to, they didn't hear your question. I don't believe they didn't hear it on tape. The question was, does it have to occur in that chronological order? In other words, does the filling of the Holy Spirit have to come first, and then the Bible doctrine circulating in the stream of consciousness? And I said, yes, it does, because you won't even have Bible doctrine circulating in your stream of consciousness unless you have the filling of the Holy Spirit first. Because it is the filling of the Holy Spirit that teaches this spiritual phenomenon to your spirit. And you have to have that first. I'm going to have to stop here because we're out of time, but I want you to understand this. Hang on for just a second and listen to this. The fact that, and I'll be going into this more next time, is the fact that if you just have one, then it is not enough to sustain you. You're really not accessing God's power to the fullest, because people who do not have doctrine circulating in their stream of consciousness, they haven't learned any doctrine or very little. And so they have learned rebound. They know how to acquire the filling of the Holy Spirit, and they use that, and that's great. But they usually don't go very far, because they don't know what to do. They don't have any doctrine. They don't know how to execute God's plan. Don't even know what God's plan is. All they've learned so far is how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so it can carry you a little ways, but not very much if you don't have the doctrine. But then on the other hand, you can have tons of doctrine. You can have been going to Bible class for decades and know more doctrine than anybody else you know of, but you still have no power unless it is connected with the filling of the Holy Spirit. You see? You've got to have both of these. And when you have both of them, then you're operating on God's omnipotence. And that's when immeasurably more than you can ever ask or think starts to come into play, because you're operating on His power. It's important for us to understand this and employ it in our own lives. We're completely out of time. We'll continue next time. Heavenly Father, it is a great privilege to focus on Your omnipotence, and we are humbled as we recognize that You have made that power available to us. We thank You that Your Word has straightened us out with regards to how to access that power. And we pray that every time that we feel comfortable in our comfort zone of old habits, sinful habits, we will recognize that is a dead-end street and we are really operating under Satan's sphere of power. We will rebound, get back cracking under the divine domain, under the power that You have made available to us, so that we can accomplish what You have for us. We pray that we will be smart enough to meditate upon these things until we have them securely in our souls. For we pray it all in Christ's most high and holy name. Amen.